Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members. Stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 10 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 20 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 30 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store, download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in, because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
This Memorial Day weekend, I'm skipping phony sales and shopping at Bob's Discount Furniture, where I don't have to worry about missing out on great savings. Because no matter what, when I shop, Bob's has trending styles at everyday low prices, ready to ship fast, like Consumer Reports recommended mattresses, real marble dining sets, and the best-selling modular Bob's sectional with over 1,700 five-star reviews. So make the most of your summer and visit Bob's, where America shops for furniture.
Shanti, for our listeners out there who are not familiar with you, tell them who you are and a bit about your journey.
Absolutely. So I am Shanti Das. I am a native Atlantan. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
All right. I am a native Atlantan, so grew up listening to WALK V103. Got my start in the entertainment industry in the early 90s here in Atlanta, and went on to help do promotions and then eventually marketing for artists like Usher and TLC, Toni Braxton, Outkast, and to name a few. And went up to New York, stayed in the entertainment industry for almost 20 years, and then decided to walk away from my career for my overall mental wellness, physical health. And then started ATL Live on the Park, started No Reservations Needed, which WAOK is a big supporter of every year, my Thanksgiving dinner to the homeless, and also had suicidal ideation in the 2010 decade. And then I lost my mother and my sister, my sister in 2019 and my mother in 2022. And that has been quite the journey for me. And it's important to add that my father passed by suicide when I was just 7 months old and my best friend in 2014. So, and then a bunch of other significant family members over the years. So I am no stranger to the grief journey, unfortunately.
And, you know, don't even remember at this point how we connected, but you are such a blessing in my life. And having the opportunity to just watch you use a difficult journey to make other people's life whole. And so you've been through a lot, and you've seen a lot, and you've experienced a lot. And we all go through things. But when you get to a point where you feel hopeless, and a lot of people don't understand how it is that people get to that point where they want to give up. And so talk a little bit, just a little bit about that. And, you know, for somebody that might be feeling that.
Yeah, absolutely. So it was in, almost 9 years ago now, it's September of 2015. Well, really that entire year from 2014 to 2015, when my best friend had taken her own life, that was kind of like turning point for me in terms of my mental health decline, and that brought back a lot of my own issues, unresolved trauma issues from my father's suicide that we had never addressed properly as a family. You know, just deciding or really contemplating about my move from the entertainment industry, you know, was that the best decision? And then I had talked to my best friend 12 hours before she, almost 12 hours before she had taken her own life. And so I was trying to figure out what I had missed, and I kind of blamed myself. And so I kind of was just talking myself into a downward spiral when there are a lot of different things in your life that you are facing or haven't dealt with properly, you know, it can all kind of come to a head at some point. And people are like, oh, but you're, you know, and I say this in the most humble way, you're Shanti Das, you have this great career. What is there to be sad about? And that doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
It's all about circumstances, situations. And if you have not properly talked to a Dr. Adrian or somebody similar, a licensed professional counselor, to talk through your wellness challenges mentally, or you don't have a good doctor physically, you know, I tell people when you're dealing with mental health challenges, they can also manifest in the physical health challenges.
Absolutely.
And vice versa.
Absolutely, they
can. So I was taking care of everybody else other than Shanti the way I should have. And, you know, even in 2015, nobody was really talking about mental health.
No, they were
not. The way that it, especially in the Black community, the way it has opened up. And so, that, you know, that's kind of how it happened. So I would say to anybody who might be facing some challenging times, you got to open up and talk to somebody. You know,
absolutely.
You just have to trust the process. You have to trust the universe. In my case, it was me trusting God and him placing his earthly angels around me. It was my sister, my late sister, and then my pastor, Dr. Warnock, who was also the pastor at Ebenezer Baptist Church, who told me I had to go finally get some help.
Yeah.
And that's what I did. And that's when I came up with the phrase Silence of Shame. And it turned into a movement that turned into my nonprofit.
We got to go to a quick break. When we come back, I want you to talk about Silence the Shame and how it addresses mental health, and especially during this holiday season. It's the Wake Up Call with Dr. Adrian. It's News and Talk 1380 WAOK. It's my sister, Shanti Das, founder of Silence the Shame, and we're talking all things holiday grief. Do you think the holiday season amplifies loneliness and grief more than it brings joy? Why or why not? You can give us a call at 404-726-1380. And so, Shanti, before we went to break, I asked that you come back and talk a little bit about the creation of Silence the Shame and how it addresses mental health, and especially during this holiday season.
Absolutely. So I, you know, created Silence of Shame as a result of my own, you know, suicidal ideation and mental health challenges. And we are a national nonprofit, 501c3 nonprofit, and we do most of our work in Atlanta and Georgia right now. And we exist to educate and empower the community around mental health and wellness. And so we teach and train the community. We don't do direct services, but we push people towards good resources in the community like yourself and to doctors and support groups that can help. And so we do community conversations in care, fancy your name for panel discussions. We have a lot of past panel discussions or webinar community webinars that we've done on our YouTube channel under Silence of Shame. We've addressed grief. We've addressed so many other topics that I think, you know, affect us in the community. And so we're trying to normalize the conversation and get people to be comfortable with talking about it. And hearing other people's lived experiences can be a great way to kind of give you that courage that you needed to say, you know what, if they went through this and got the help, then maybe I can. And so that's really where we exist. And so we also have a podcast that's available on YouTube and on all podcast audio platforms. And in 2019, when my sister passed, ironically, we did a really great episode. It's episode 19 on grief. So go check us out, the Silence of Shame podcast. And it's a really great episode on grief. And I think to answer your question that you posed for the day, you know, I think it depends on your circumstance and your situation. The holidays can bring on a lot of sorrow and sadness for some, especially if, and I wouldn't even say especially, you know, but obviously when you lose someone in those first, second, third years, you know, even years 1 to 5, can be really debilitating for some people before they can even get help. Others can get help and seek it quicker. They may have a stronger faith. That doesn't mean that something is wrong with you. It just means that for whatever reasons, their faith is guiding them in a different direction and it's allowing them to process through it, or they're able to see a grief counselor shortly after. And bounce back. Doesn't mean they're not still hurting, but just means they have found a quicker way and to cope, and that's worked for them.
Yeah.
You know, for me, it was definitely different. It took quite some time.
Well, you know, one of the things that I always say is that our mindset about the things that we go through is mm-hmm. what's going to help us through the thing. It's not the thing mm-hmm. itself. It's our mindset about the thing. And right. a lot of times, you know, depending on how you look at your circumstances. And so you are an example of someone who has taken their journey and turned it into a purpose. And so a lot of times people get stuck in the journey. They get stuck in the what has happened to me, as opposed to what can I do with this? And so, you know, the holidays are a difficult time for, you know, for various reasons, but it reminds me of death itself. What you've been taught and exposed to is going to impact how you do it. And so I can remember, you know, my paternal grandmother started these Christmas breakfasts, and it started because my father would traditionally go tear up the kitchen, redo the kitchen, and we would walk into a totally different kitchen. Like, what did he just wake up and decide he wanted to change the kitchen? And so my grandmother loved to cook, and she was a cafeteria lady at the Catholic school, and, you know, was just a phenomenal cook. And so she started these Christmas breakfasts at our house, and everybody would come there and, you know, eat Christmas breakfast. And she was making pancakes and all this because my mama had a new kitchen. And when she passed, there was this heaviness, like, because the Christmas breakfasts grew and expanded until we had to take them to the event hall that my parents owned, because then my father started feeding the police department and the fire department. And so there was this heaviness that first Christmas, because she passed in October, but it was the desire to make sure that we continued what she started. And so I think that a lot of times a part of people's grief and loss is the inability to just kind of keep it going and to find joy, because a lot of times people feel guilty for living after somebody that they love has passed. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So I just launched a new book called Have Yourself a Merry Little Griefmas. Basically, it's 20 tips on navigating grief during the holidays. And so, you know, it gets really difficult when you lose someone and the holidays roll around. Those traditions that you talked about, you know, it can become hard to participate in those same activities. It can be hard to get out of bed, to, you know, not even want to put up a tree. And I tell people, my first tip in the book is lean into your feels. You know, if you want to cry, you want to feel angry, you want to, you know, stop listening to holiday music, that's okay, too. You might try to isolate yourself from friends and family. But, you know, the bottom line is you got to, you know, hold on. Holding your emotions in, though, sometimes can lead to more mental health challenges.
Absolutely.
So you got to feel the feels.
Yeah.
But then, you know, you got to eventually heal. And that is super important. And the other thing is establishing boundaries during the holidays, you know. You may not want to participate in all the holiday events and, you know, do the same things that you did. It might be too hard to have a Christmas breakfast. Like for me, you know, we did the same thing. We had Christmas breakfast at my sister's house. We wouldn't open our gifts until after breakfast. That was the big, we would open our gifts and then have go immediately into a big Christmas breakfast. But, you know, those traditions got to be too difficult for me. And what I did was I started creating new experiences for myself. I took a trip and, you know, I went over to London. And if you can't afford to go to London, do a staycation, do something different, go to a different friend's home. Or you could just, you know, skip the commercialization of Christmas altogether. You know, I talk about that too in my book. But the thing is, you got to try to get ahead of the situation and plan a strategy in advance on things, you know, that could work for you. Like, you know, my book offers resources in the back. There's so many great
We're going to talk about this book in detail because for anybody who is out here who is experiencing grief coming up to the holiday, this is a great resource for you to have. This is my sister Shanti Doss. She is the author of Have Yourself a Merry Little Griefmas, and she is the founder of Silence the Shame. We've got to go to a break, but as she said, Tip number one, lean into your feelings. You cannot heal what you refuse to feel. And number two, establish boundaries during the holiday. Don't try to do and be who everybody else says that you should. You got to figure out the new you in this grief process. It's the Wake Up Call with Dr. Adrienne, News and Talk 1380 WAOK. It's the Wake Up Call with Dr. Adrienne. Wake up, wake up, wake up. I've got Shanti Doss, the founder of Silence the Shame, the author of Have Yourself a Merry Little Griefmas, and we are talking all things grief and the holiday season. But before we get back to this conversation, we've got Cliff from Connecticut on the line. Cliff, are you there?
Hey, thank you, ladies. Thanks for taking my call, Grand Rising.
Grand Rising
to you. I want to share my experience based on this past election. You know, I saw the hypocrisy of this country, and even from the point where it comes from government, I saw how a white person can have privileges compared to blacks.
Mm-hmm.
But even more so, I saw and experienced, particularly religion, how Donnie Swagger, the son of the late Jimmy Swagger, the white evangelical, how they chastised the black church.
Hmm.
So my point I'm making is that I'm saying, how could these white pastors, you know, chastise the black church and then turn around and say they love Jesus?
Hmm.
Like, what Jesus are they talking about?
Hmm.
You know, damn sure ain't my Jesus.
Right, right.
And so with that being said, you know, I felt that we as a people, you know, particularly seeing how joyous they were with the election, you know, the white Trumpers and so forth, I was like, coming into Christmas, they want to celebrate like everything's okay.
Right.
And everything is fine. And I myself have made a decision, I'm not doing that. I'm not spending my money, you know, patronizing white manufacturers, this whole thing. And I damn sure, excuse my expression, I'm darn sure I'm not going to get my granddaughter and grandson and sit them on a white Santa Claus and have this white Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just not doing it, period.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd rather support Kwanzaa or even do something that's Afrocentric to uplift the black community and our black culture. Now, does that make a little sense? Am I depressed or
no,
what am I going through?
Listen, I think that what you are doing is you are making a healthy decision for you and for your family. And so it's interesting that you would say, you know, I don't know about the Jesus that they serve, because I was in a conversation on yesterday, and this is the thing where I talk about who it is that Donald Trump is in terms of his character. When you think about, and this conversation was with Dr. Anitra, she was my guest on yesterday. When you think about
the response, I'll hang up. Thank you.
Thank you so much. When you think about what the principles of Christianity are founded upon, when you think about the Beatitudes, and I'm not a Bible scholar, but growing up Catholic in Tuskegee, Alabama, there are just certain things that were a part of my upbringing. And so those character traits that I was taught, that are a part of who I am, that are associated with Christianity, when you think about who it is that Donald Trump presents himself as every single day, it's anything but Christ-like. So I appreciate your call, Cliff from Connecticut. Before we got into this conversation, Bishop Sammy had a question about why are people more sad during November and December? And I said that I was going to address that. And so one of the things that we have to remember is that there is something called seasonal affective disorder. And so it happens around the time where the time changes. And so when it becomes darker earlier, people sometimes suffer from feeling down and what we call in psychology as the winter blues. And so I want people to understand that this is a real thing. And so that it's been studied for years. And that's why there are recommendations about making sure that you are out there getting your vitamin D when there is sunlight out there. There are light bulbs that you can change in your house. There are ways to shift what is caused by not having as much daylight time, because it is a real thing and it can truly cause this seasonal depression to happen. So today's conversation is about grief, but I just wanted to make sure that I address that for Bishop Sammy. Today's conversation is about grief during the holidays. And so I have Shanti Doss, the founder of Silence the Shame, here with me. And so, Shanti, we were talking about this wonderful resource that you have created to help people deal with what you call griefmas, you know, this period. And so we already talked
and
about.
I just want to add, go ahead. If I can interject, that this book is to help people who do typically celebrate the traditional Christmas.
Yeah.
I'm, you know, the gentleman who just called in, I know a lot of people don't buy into, you know, the traditional Christmas holiday season in the U.S. and beyond. But this book particularly are for those who do, because I grew up celebrating Christmas in a lot of the traditional sense. So, I just want to say that.
Yeah. And so, and I think that, you know, really, whether or not you do it in a traditional or non-traditional way, what we're focusing on is this period that you experience when you have lost people that you love, because it's not just relegated to holidays. It's celebrate. I get clients all the time that have lost loved ones, and when their birthdays roll around or the birthdays of their loved ones and anniversaries of their loved ones come around, they struggle. And so this conversation today is really about how do you manage grief around people that you've lost that you love. So tips number 3 and 4, I want you to talk about those. Give yourself grace during the holidays, and no is a complete sentence.
Yeah, absolutely. So like you said, tip number 3 is giving yourself grace. And, you know, we talked about this being typically and traditionally a joyous time for everyone, but you got to be able to honor your feelings in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't owe anybody an explanation. You know, people might say, oh, I can't believe she's not doing such and such, or she's not responding to my text messages, or I'm trying to reach out. You know, it's like we, and then when I say we, the people that are supporting the person that is grieving, we also get caught up in our own feelings.
Yeah.
And we want people to know that we're trying to be there for them and we love them. But the reality of it is, Dr. Adrian, is that sometimes you don't have the strength to respond.
Right.
You know, you don't have the capacity. You might not be seeing a therapist right now, and the grief might still be really, really fresh. And so even being able to just muster up that courage, you know, is really tough. So I tell people, you know, don't feel like, you know, you're being mean or you're a bad person. Mm-hmm. You know, at some point, you know, we're all going to experience this. And for those that aren't going through it, they just might not understand what you're going through. So we got to give ourselves grace, and we got to give others grace. And then the other tip, as you mentioned, tip 4, no is a complete sentence. You know, it's so much going on during the holidays, activities, parties, family gatherings. You know, you might want to go see holiday traditional shows, you know, or just holiday lights in the botanical gardens, whatever it is. It's something on the schedule every single day. But you know what? You cannot be everywhere, and you can't be everything to everyone.
Absolutely.
So sometimes simply saying no might be the best thing for you. If you want to stay home and, you know, grief, essentially, and you don't feel like being around other people, I just want you to know that it is okay. Again, I just tell people, you got to go through that debilitating part of the grief process, as my late sister once said. The key is to just not get lost in that, right? But you got to allow yourself to go through those feels.
Absolutely.
And being able to, you know, you can't go to everything, and that's okay. And you won't probably feel like attending all of that. I remember when my sister passed away. She passed away in April of 2019, and I was, I was co-founder of an event in Atlanta called ATL Live on the Park. It was a live music showcase. We did it for 10 years over at Park Tavern in Atlanta. And I remember when I eventually went back at one of the shows, it was as if, Dr. Adrian, I was having an out-of-body experience.
Yeah.
I was still so consumed with grief.
Yeah,
and people were coming up to me, not necessarily talking about my sister, but just talking. And it was almost as if I was in this bubble.
Yeah.
And I just didn't want to talk to anybody, and I just didn't want to be there, but I pushed through. And so, you know, you can't obviously say no to everything when it's work-related, but from a personal perspective, you have to know when to show up and when not to.
Absolutely.
And how to show up.
Yeah. We got to go to another break. I've got Shanti Doss, founder of Silence the Shame and the author of this wonderful resource to help individuals who are grieving during the holiday. Shanti says no is a complete sentence. Dr. Adrian says no is not a cuss word. It's the Wake Up Call with Dr. Adrian. Wake up, wake up, wake up. News and Talk 1380 WAOK. He's silently grieving during the holiday season. And Shanti has written a wonderful resource. And it's entitled Have Yourself a Merry Little Griefmas. And so she is experienced when it comes to grief, like a lot of us are. And she is very open about her story and her challenges with mental health. She has taken her journey and she utilized it to help others heal. And so we've been talking about the tips that she has, the 20 tips that are in this resource. And so I love number 5, plan new traditions or experiences during the holidays and reject the notion of another lonely Christmas. Talk about those.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. So creating new holiday traditions. So we talked a little bit about this earlier. Yours was the breakfast. You know, I used to go to my sister's house every year and we would go to a fancy dinner on Christmas Eve and go to Christmas Mass. And come back and watch Christmas movies, get into our Christmas pajamas. And my sister was doing Christmas pajamas before it was a thing.
She was
definitely ahead of her time with that. I mean, I'm talking like, the early 2000s. So anyway, I had to do something different. It was, just really hard looking on social media, watching families in those pajamas and all the things mm-hmm. that they were doing. And so that's when I decided to take that trip. And so I really encourage you to try to create some new traditions for yourself. Being in a new environment, just for me, if you do have the funds to travel, even if you travel somewhere in the U.S. or you drive down to Florida somewhere, just go somewhere where you can find yourself a beach and maybe it can be a calming and relaxing experience for you, or, maybe get with another family member who might be in the same boat and y'all just do something different.
Yeah.
Because why put yourself through that pain and that anguish of being on social media and watching everybody, and it's just too hard. And mm-hmm. so that is one of the greatest things that you can do, is do a staycation and try to find something different and put yourself in a new environment. And then rejecting the notion of another lonely Christmas, again, the pain and the grief, right? The deep sorrow that you experience from losing that loved one or best friend or the loss of a child or a spouse can just be so much. And mm-hmm. so, oftentimes we don't feel like being around others, but truth be told, fellowship can be a good thing for you. So just don't stay isolated, mm-hmm. right? You can go through the grief process, feel all the feels, but, Prince had that song, Another Lonely Christmas. Well, sometimes, you got to step out on faith and allow yourself to be around others.
Yeah.
But be particular about the environments that you choose. And
absolutely.
If and when you get there, if it's not for you, guess what? You can
exit,
leave, you call Uber,
lift.
You can get in your car and go home or whatever. But, try not to isolate yourself so much, but you got to go through that first experience. That's why my first tip in the book is you got to feel all the feels.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. I'm not saying you can't go through those emotions. But at some point, you got to learn how to process through that grief with somebody like yourself or a grief counselor.
I think one of the hardest things about grief is that people don't recognize that it's very personal. And mm-hmm. it's like parenting. There's no one way to do it. If there was one book mm-hmm. that told you how to do it, everybody would be doing it the same way. And so have to give yourself permission to say that I don't even know what I need right now. And it's okay to not know what you need. But if you know what you need, you also have to be able to communicate that to people. And I think the other thing about grief is that a lot of times people say things that might be offensive to the person that is grieving. And it's because a lot of times people don't know what to say. And so they may accidentally say to you, I know exactly how you feel. And so if they've not experienced, number one, the same type of death or loss that you're having, they can't know. But number two, they can't know because they're not you. And so
that's right.
We have to just make sure that we stay aware that this grief process looks so different for everybody. There's not one way to do it. And however it is that you're doing it is your way. But I think that what the tips are suggesting is that when you get to a place, if you get to a place where you feel hopeless, you have to get professional help. So the next tip that you have is about consider therapy or grief counseling. I remember that, it, you know, your sister passed in April, and that July we went to Essence Festival and spoke in the Wellness House. And so I can remember just feeling like I was watching you to make sure you were okay, because it was so much going on. And so a lot of times, even in the midst of, like you said, when you attended that other event, you were there, but it was almost like an out of body experience. It's like Charlie Brown's teacher talking to you. And you hear people.
Right. That's a great, great analogy. Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. And so talk about, you know, what it looks like to go to grief counseling and why it's so important.
Absolutely. So it was probably 4 or 5 months later that I realized, like, OK, now I got to get some help, because I have cried every tear I could cry. I have isolated, not wanting to attend a lot. Even though I was working to mask just being in bed and not giving up. But the thing about it is, I would work, go, and then I would get home and then crash again, right? And just find myself crying myself to sleep every night. And so I finally, for me, I grew up Catholic, but now I'm Baptist. It's more about a relationship with God for me than a religion.
Yeah.
So, but I did hear about this organization called GriefShare.org, and it's from a Christian perspective. So I thought I would give it a shot. And the cool thing about GriefShare is that they have these support groups all throughout the city and all through, you know, throughout the country based on wherever you're from. And so I found a support group that wasn't that far from my house, and they give you like this book that you get to keep, and you go through the book each week, and then you kind of go around the room and share about your experiences. And so it was something about finding others who were going through what I was going through. You said something earlier that I thought was really important. You know, people want to say the right things, or they say certain things, but sometimes they just don't know what to say, and they don't know that what they're saying can be hurtful because that is not their intent.
Right.
But until you've been through that. So finding other, you know, like-minded people or people from a shared experience can really be helpful for you during this period. And so it was, for some reason, it was calming for me to be in a room with other people who had experienced such profound loss.
Yeah.
Because I really did feel like they understood what I was going through. And there were tears shed, but there was healing that took place. And I want to say it was like maybe 10 different support group classes that we went through. I was traveling for a few, so I might have missed 3 of them, but they had a lot of videos that we could watch, and it was just good to put me on the right track. And throughout that track, you know, I also consulted with my spiritual counselor, Dr. Warnock, and then I eventually, you know, went back into therapy. But I started grief counseling first because it was just important, again, for me to be around others. Some people may just do one-on-one counseling, which is totally fine if you find a good clinician or find a clinician that specializes in grief therapy and counseling. But for me, I needed community. I needed to be around others who had experienced unfortunate occurrence. Yeah, so that helped a lot for me.
And if there are individuals out there who are listening who have never participated in group therapy, you might be thinking that it would be sad to go around people who have your similar problems. But group therapy is research-based. And when you get the right clinician to lead the process, it is very healing. And as Shanti said, to be in community with other people who have experienced the same thing that you have experienced can be very comforting. When we come back, we're going to continue this conversation. Want to remind you that today's question of the day is, do you think the holiday season amplifies loneliness and grief more than it brings joy? You want to get in on the conversation? You still got time. It's 404-726-1380. It's the Wake Up Call with Dr. Adrienne, News and Talk 1380 WAOK. Wake Up Call with Dr. Adrienne. Wake up, wake up, wake up. My guest is Shanti Doss. She is the founder of Silence the Shame, and she is the author of a new resource, Have Yourself a Merry Little Griefmas, 20 Tips for Navigating Grief During the Holiday. And so we're having this difficult but necessary conversation about grief. And how do you address your mental health needs during the holidays when you have lost someone that is significant to you? And so one of the things that I just thought about, Shanti, is that my maternal grandmother was actually born on Christmas Day. And so Christmas was like this really big deal because it was her birthday and it was Christmas. And so it was like a dual celebration. And I remember after she died that everybody kind of stopped talking about the fact that she had been born on Christmas. And so a lot of times when you're grieving and people around you are grieving, a part of what happens is that you get so consumed with your own grief that you're not really checking for everybody else and how they're doing. And so one of the things that for me, it made me feel like everybody had forgotten my grandmother and nobody was talking about the fact that this was her birthday too. And it really did take, you know, a lot of years before I even remember my mother explaining it to my little brother that, you know, it was when he asked my mother about her mother, because my brother and I are 20 years apart. And so when she passed away, he was only 2 years old. And so he didn't have memories of her. And when he got old enough, I think maybe he was about 5 or 6, and he started to ask my mother questions, because I didn't feel like it was my place to say anything, because if my mother wasn't talking about her mother, I shouldn't be talking about her mother. And so again, everybody grieves differently. But I was so happy when my mother started pulling out the VH tapes and showing my brother his interactions with my grandmother. That was how she kind of introduced her into his memory. And so, you know, again, grief is so personal. And, you know, there are things that a lot of times you don't even think about until you start to have the conversations. And it's, you know, how can you start to help other people through this process? So you have written this wonderful resource. And so the next one is interesting because, and I'll tell you what I did the other day, but you said, limit your holiday song playlist. That is so funny. So why did you come up with that? What is that about?
So I said that one because, like, for example, there are some songs that my sister and I used to listen to, or, pardon me, there are certain songs that my sister and I would listen to, like The Silent Night by The Temptations.
Oh, my gosh.
That one will get you anyway, whether you done lost somebody or not. That song is powerful. But when I hear it, I just immediately think about my sister, and it would just make me cry so much. And my mother loved the Nat King Cole Christmas album. She and
absolutely.
And so those are ones that, you know, I just, when the first couple of years they passed away, and even with my mom, because we're going into the third year in January, yeah, you know, I can't listen to them as much as certain songs. And so I might just skip to another track, you know, or if I'm in a store that's playing it, you know, if it's too much for me, I'll walk outside. I mean, it gets better over time. I tell people with grief, you know, time is is your best friend, literally. Mm-hmm. You know, each year, each moment, each day, it gets a little bit easier. But yeah, some of those songs you just can't listen to.
Yeah.
And it's okay. You know, you just skip to the next one or just choose not to listen to it. And so, it can be too painful.
It can be. And so on Sunday, it was on Sunday, I went to brunch with a girlfriend to celebrate her birthday. And so I've been going through some challenges. 2024 has been very difficult for me. And, you know, one of the things for individuals who know me, you know, I don't hide the fact that I am in a relationship with somebody who is the love of my life. And mm-hmm. we're in a distant relationship. And so my girlfriend said to me, she said, "You just don't seem like yourself." And I said, "I've had a lot mm-hmm. going on." And so I mm-hmm. got in the car and decided, let me pull up my Christmas playlist, because I was saying, I don't think I'm gonna put up a tree, you know, and I normally go way over the top. Well, I pull up my playlist and the first song that came up was "What Do the Lonely Do at Christmas?" And I burst into tears. So,
yeah,
you know, so what
that's why I did limit your
holiday playlist. Listen, you got to know where your triggers are. And that thing was triggering for me. And I said, I used to love this song. I thought it was so cute. I said, but right now that thing hitting too close to home. I don't like any of that. So,
And I didn't say those exact words, but you're absolutely right. Those songs can be triggering.
Oh my God.
And that's just it.
So your 10th tip is about skipping the commercialization of the holidays, which is what Cliff was saying when he called in from mm-hmm. Connecticut. So talk about that one a little bit.
Absolutely. So I was just thinking that, you know, for some, you know, you might not want to put up a tree. You might not want to decorate. But what ways can you, you know, find peace and comfort? And it's a lot of things you could do, like volunteering at a local shelter. You know, it's a lot of different events that happen during the time of year. But, you know, it's funny how when I find myself being of service to others, it mm-hmm. really, truly warms my heart. And it's a way to selfishly take my mind off of my own problems, right, and pour into others. And so find, you know, ways to get involved in the community. There's a ton of different things going on. Yeah, there might be someone who is going through, you know, treatment for a severe disease, or chemotherapy. You know, I have a girlfriend who's going through chemo now, and I try to, you know, shoot her money when I can, or, you know, pay to get, you know, something done at the house, or, you know, send water via Amazon. It's like, focus on others instead of your own grief. And it mm-hmm. has a way of just filling the spirit.
Yeah.
And then it's also just a good thing to do that time of year for channeling that energy, if you will, somewhere else.
Yeah.
Other than the traditional sense of the holidays.
You know, I don't think a lot of times people recognize the value of doing for and giving to others, because it's hard to stay in a place of sadness when you are doing an act of selflessness. So, you know, sometimes, like you said, it's that getting up out the bed and getting yourself together. But mm-hmm. once you get to a place and a point where you're pouring into somebody else and you're helping somebody else, it's going to help you feel better about who you are and what you got going on. We got to go to another quick break. We're trying to get through these tips because I want to make sure that Shanti tells you all where you can find this resource. And we're going to make sure that we have it posted on the WAOK website. But when we come back, we're going to hopefully talk to Shanti for a few more minutes. We're talking about all things grief during the holidays. If you want to get in on this conversation, you can give me a call at 404-726-1380, News and Talk 1380, WAOK. Wake Up Call with Dr. Adrian. My guest is Shanti Doss. She's the founder of Silence the Shame, and she is the author of this amazing resource, Have Yourself a Merry Little Griefmas, 20 Tips for Navigating Grief During the Holiday. because I've already hopped online and I'm going to order one just because I need to make it a part of my practice, because I deal with a lot of individuals who are suffering with grieving and it becomes very difficult for them during the holiday. We've been talking about some of these tips that you have, and I just wanted to ask you about, you know, the rock of all ages for those in the Christian faith. What's that one about, Shanti?
So, you know, so I've heard that saying before. The rock of ages was thus defined as an unfailing source of strength, right? For the Lord is everlasting strength. And if that is your faith, you know, we turn to the Lord in tough times. And for me, going through grief counseling, talking to family and friends, taking the trips, you know, not isolating myself, all of that was great. Mm-hmm. But it really wasn't until I finally let go and let God, as mm-hmm. they say, mm-hmm. that I turned my grief and pain over to Him to help me navigate through it. Because for all those of us that are in the Christian faith, you got to surrender your problems wholeheartedly to
right.
God.
Right.
And that is what was able to help me, Dr. Adrian. And I finally had to say, you know what? Okay, Lord, you know, have your way. Guide me through this process and help me figure out what that looks like. And so that's it. You know, you gotta believe in, you know, Isaiah 26:4, when they talk about the rock of all ages, if you are a Christian. And the sadness won't go away immediately, but over time, if you allow God in and allow Him to usher those steps for you, and those steps may include therapy, grief counseling, mm-hmm, fellowship, mm-hmm. but you got to let Him be that rock in your life,
yeah.
as opposed to trying to, you know, bear the brunt of that grief journey on your own.
You talk about a parent's loss during the holidays, which is, you know, very, very, very difficult, I can imagine. Having had, you know, a miscarriage, I can remember between babies number 3 and 4 and people saying to me, but at least you have 3 other children. And mm-hmm. those words were not comforting to me, but I mm-hmm. understood their attempt to comfort me. Talk a little bit about your recommendations in terms of parents coping with loss.
So my recommendation, and ooh, that you definitely struck a nerve. But or even, you know, sometimes when people say, oh, but they lived a good long mm-hmm, life, that mm-hmm, don't matter, mm-hmm, you know. Mm-hmm. But when parents lose children, and I certainly cannot say that I have, you know, I'm not married, I don't have kids, but I have friends that have lost children.
Yeah.
And so one of the most important things that I think for parents to cope during the holidays is just knowing that you don't have to be superwoman or superman.
Yeah.
And it's okay to ask for help.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because oftentimes we, again, keep trying to show up for everybody. And you may have those other kids that you have to show up for. But, you know, you got to let your other kids know that it's okay to have those feelings of sadness, those feelings of sorrow when you lose someone. Because mm-hmm. your kids may not, the kids that are still with you on earth, may not understand what that grieving process looks like.
Right.
So being able to share with them, or I didn't put this in the tip, but maybe you go to family counseling, right? Whatever that looks like. But just leaning on your village is mm-hmm. the main takeaway from this tip, and being okay with switching things up to create those new narratives. But, you know, you just have so much added pressure as a parent, and you got to really lean into that village and allow other family members and friends to help you out through it, because it can be obviously daunting and difficult, and you don't know how long, you know, it'll take you to get through that debilitating part of losing
right.
that child. You never
exactly.
get over losing it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I just tell people you just find pathways forward. So,
and so as a part of the pathway forward, you talk about, you know, how do you not memorialize, but remember in a positive memory the people that you have lost and loved, because mm-hmm. you can celebrate and, you know, not put the memories away. I think a lot of times when people are grieving, you know, they feel like they're supposed to put away the person.
Yeah.
And so the person yeah. remains in your heart forever. And so you get to decide what that looks like. So talk a little bit about that.
Absolutely. So it's a lot of different things you can do to honor your loved one. You know, you can do it when it, you know, first happens. Obviously, it could be around their birthday. Some people choose to do it during the holiday season. Mm-hmm. So you can host an event, maybe a cocktail party at your home. Again, if you have the courage and the strength to do it, but right. It may not be a year one. It might be a couple years later.
Yeah.
But host an event and donate the proceeds to a organization who happens to be, doing the work, maybe based on the cause of death from your loved one. Say if it was for cancer research or multiple myeloma or something like that. You can plant a tree in their honor. You mm-hmm. can create a scholarship at their alma mater for other, students to kind of keep the tradition going of their name. Some people start foundations and donate to other nonprofits who are doing the work. Sometimes you can go to church. Maybe you go to Christmas Eve service and light a candle in their memory, mm-hmm. right? Or mm-hmm. you may have a mantle at your home. If you do have minimal decorations up, maybe it's a candle, and you light a candle with other family in their honor. But the last thing you could do is maybe collect photos of your deceased loved one from other family members and friends, and you use like Shutterfly or something and create those books and send those out as holiday gifts yeah. to remember the incredible life of your loved one. It's so many different things yeah. that you can do. The idea behind this really, though, is to just find ways to honor your loved ones during the holiday season, things that can bring joy, can bring smiles even through the tears, so that you continue to uplift their memory mm-hmm. and keep their memory alive. Yeah. That's the hardest thing about losing someone. You know, sometimes I find myself, and this is just a general grief conversation now, that, you know, I'm like, gosh, I don't want to forget those memories, yeah. you know, I don't want to forget. And you almost feel guilty when you feel like you're forgetting. And so by doing some of these really thoughtful gestures are a great way to keep that memory ongoing so that you never forget that remarkable life that your loved one lived.
And so one of the things that you talk about is, you know, putting things in place before the holidays come that kind of help you cope. And so in keeping with what you just said, one of the things that, you know, I do, I'm big on journaling, but one mm-hmm, of the things mm-hmm. that I do is I have journals that I keep and I write in to all of my children, to my granddaughter, and to my grandson. And so I don't journal mm-hmm. in them often, but significant events, their birthdays, first days of schools, and I write them letters. Because one day mm-hmm. I won't be here. But mm-hmm. what they will have mm-hmm. from me are my words and my thoughts and my love mm-hmm. for them in those moments. Mm-hmm. And so mm-hmm. that's just something to think about. I know that our time together has come to an end, and I want to make sure that people know exactly where they can find you, and we will have the information listed on our website for your book. But tell them how they can find you and Silence the Shame.
Yeah, you can follow me on Instagram. That is probably the platform that I am most active, at Shanti Das, Shantidas 404. You can follow Silence the Shame at Silence the Shame. And you can get my new pocket guide, Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas. It's a 4x6 small pocket guide you can keep in your purse or keep right by your nightstand. Right now, it is available through a link that I had sent to Dr. Adrian that we will be posting on the WAOK website. Excuse me, and my website, www.shantidas.biz. should be up and running with the new book in the next day or two, but at least by Friday. But for now, you can use that link that I sent you, and then the digital version of the book will be available by next week on Amazon.
I appreciate you so much. I know that the information that you have provided has helped somebody this morning. If nothing else, start to think about what their process in working through grief during the holidays needs to look like. Thank you so much, my sister. And we need our date, and we need it soon.
Only at True North Stores, new True Rewards members. Stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 10 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 20 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 30 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store, download and click the star to sign up.
Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? MaintainX is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With MaintainX, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try MaintainX for free today. Go to MaintainX.com/AI. That's MaintainX.com/AI.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hi, I'm Bobby Witt Jr., ambassador for MLB's Play Ball.
Let's play ball!
It's an accessible, fun way for kids of all skill levels to learn the game, make new friends, and most importantly, get out and play ball. No prior experience needed. No bat or glove, no problem. We provide participants with their own bat and ball kit so kids can come as they are. Don't miss Play Ball Weekend, June 5th through the 7th. Visit playball.org to register for an event near you today.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.